any visitors, but still welcome you to New Harmony Baptist Church. I do see one, old Curly there. She's been Curly for years. And Kristen and Abby's been friends for a long time, and good to have her with us this morning. And so we just welcome each one out. Excited to be back in Alabama. I was excited to leave, I thought, and after traveling throughout the country, I'm glad to be home. Glad to be back with y'all this morning. Glad to be back with our church family. So looking forward to getting to preach today. I missed it. It's when you call to do something, you're not doing it, you truly miss it. So I ask you to remember our church this morning as we go into prayer. I never remember a time when a church family has been bombarded with problems such as we are at this point, sickness and just problems. But I know God's way is perfect, and His timing's perfect, so all we can do is pray. And I know there's a reason behind it, and the reason is draw us closer to Him. That's what He desires, each one of us to get closer. When we tend to think about a church being successful, we tend to think about numbers and the pews being full, and that's good. But if we are growing closer to Christ, then we're successful as a church. And God knows the way to make that happen. So all I can do is trust Him. I've learned in my short life not to try to figure it out, because you can't. His way is perfect, and you got to learn to trust it. And saying that this morning, I ask you to remember Stephanie's mom, as they had put her on ventilator this morning. She's had two heart attacks since we've been gone. So y'all remember her. Her heart is not functioning a lot right now, so y'all just pray that God touches her in a mighty way and touches the family also. Mr. Bill's in the hospital, and Bill Roper's in the hospital in Birmingham with a head injury, UAB, so y'all remember him. Also, Charlotte's in the nursing home. Is that right over here in Heflin? Miss Louise is still there. I think she graduates soon, gets to come. When is it, Kim?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, she'll get to come home, so y'all remember her. And can you remember my mother? She is at home, pretty much in the bed, not much she can do, but y'all remember her and her family at this time. So just a lot going on. And but thank God that we're here this morning. Let's just try to forget all these problems and everything and worship Him for just a little while and truly give Him the praise that he desires, because He's worthy, and He is the only one that's worthy. This morning, do you have any more prayer requests? Any I have missed?
Maldi.
Yes, Maldi. Amen. Any others? We've got a lot of people still traveling this morning on vacations and going to see families and different things. So remember them. Remember a good friend of mine was resigned from his church. He asked that the church remember him as he's going through this time, tough time on him and his family. So I ask you to remember him. His name's Lee Patrick. So call his name out to the Lord and pray for him this morning. And also, there's some churches without pastors. Pray for those. God knows them. I can't even start to name all of them. God knows them. But do that. And I ask you to start remembering me, as I'll be, it seems like a long ways off, but I'll be preaching revival down in Wedowee coming up in August. It seems far off, but it'll be here before we know it. So it'll be a week revival down there. And I never can remember the name of the little church, but it's out there. It's towards Swag. I think it's one of the Bethels. You remember it, Kay? Little church out towards Swag. Anyway, remember that and pray God's will is done there. Also, our Bible school is upon us. And Miss Pat, I can tell she's worried. But God's got this in control. His timing is perfect, and it's going to turn out great. So, but we do have to participate. So we're having a meeting tonight at 4 o'clock, this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Ask everyone who can, please attend. I ask you to get involved. Yeah, I know we. You may think you don't make a difference, but you do. We need each and every person. Last sermon I preached, I think, before we left for the trip, We preached about how important it is to reach these kids before they get to be teenagers. The percentages of where they come to the Lord is so much greater young of when they can be reached and they will adhere to the calling of God. And as they get older, it begins things begin pulling at them and getting them away from or in a point where they can listen and they can react to the call from the Lord. So we've got a great responsibility coming up. We'll have kids in here that some of them will come that's not in church but one time a year for Bible school. Some will come, maybe never have been in a church, may have never heard the gospel. So as teachers and leaders, we all have a great responsibility to these. You never know what difference in a life you will make by simply telling one of these little ones about Jesus. So I ask you to attend that meeting this evening. I ask you, if you can't, to be praying earnestly for this Bible school. I desire to see it to be the best. Again, the best don't mean more numbers than we had last year. The best means that these kids draw closer to the Lord, and maybe some of them come to know the Lord through this Bible school. Any other prayer requests? If we have none, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the safety you've provided over the past week for our family and our church. Lord, we know it seems right now that we're in the middle of storms as a church. It seems that there's sickness on every side. There's problems on every corner. But Lord, we know your way is perfect. And God, I ask that you help us simply to trust in you and to learn to grow from the trials that you bring us through. And God, I pray for this morning for our service. I pray that we are able as humanly possible as we can to forget all of our problems and all of our struggles, all the things that's wrong, and God, we can focus on you for just this 1 hour, that we can truly leave this place, and it was good to be in the house of the Lord because we worshiped the true and living Savior. And God, this morning I ask you to touch our singers, they sing. God, give me the words to preach that maybe there's one here that doesn't know you, they can this morning before it's too late. And God, we thank you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
And stand in worship with us this morning.
The splendor of the King, Lord in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning.
depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heavens,
from the heights of the heavens,
your name we praise. From the hearts of the weak,
from the hearts of the weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people,
from the lips.
This song we
raise, Lord, throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, most high. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation.
Good to be back in the Lord's house. Good to be back at New Harmony Baptist Church this morning. And I know we have a lot missing this morning, but just pray for those that get you discouraged. Sometimes you look and see empty seats, but you know they're places and they're coming back. We hadn't run them off for good, but they're coming back. This week, as we traveled, I had one thought on my mind the whole week was safe. We want to return safe. We wanted to stay safe, and the Lord began using this into a message. And I hope this morning will help you a little bit, because we have talked about this all morning in our church service already, and I love it when God works it out this way. That as human beings, we desire to be safe. We do. We hunt everything about being safe. They work on our cars, our homes, our everything around us is built around safety. As we traveled yesterday, as getting on the airplane with Delta, the thing they put to you when you first go on is you're going to be safe. They try to reassure you about being safe. And this morning, I believe we all can know for certain that we're safe. If you take notes this morning, I want you to do me a favor. And even if you don't usually take notes, I still want you to do me a favor. Or if you can do this mentally, you're smarter than me. But if you can, just put you a big old word safe on your paper. Just write safe. A big S, a big A, a big F, and a big E. And we're going to put something beside it. This morning, I want you to see that the only way that we can truly know we're safe is to trust in the Lord. That's the only way. You can trust in many other things, and you might be safe, and it might work out. But, my friend, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, I assure you, according to the Word of God, you will be safe. Now, you may not see it of how you're safe. You may not understand it at this point, but God's ways is way higher than my ways, and He sees things that I can't see. He allows things to happen that I can't understand why they happen. That all I can do is trust. And in Psalms chapter number 62, verse number 8, ask you if you would to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. Very, very short verse, but oh, what power is in this verse this morning. It says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. I'm going to read that one more time because we need it this morning at New Harmony. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Father, we thank You this morning for this word. God, we thank You for Your promises. God, we thank You for Your safety. God, we pray this morning that every single person can leave this area, leave this building this morning, knowing that they're safe in the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank You for that surety this morning. God, we thank You for Your promises, and God, Your Word is true and how it never changes. And because of that, we can be as certain that we are safe this morning. God, we pray for those in the hospitals. We pray for those that are traveling. But God, most of all, we pray this morning, if there's one on the sound of our voice that doesn't know You, that they will before they leave this place. And God, I pray this morning that we can have some assurance of that safety. And Lord, all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. As I began thinking this week about being safe and about everything that goes along with it, and I come to understand something that according to this verse, the only way I can truly know I'm safe is putting my trust in God. And I put my trust in a lot of things this week, and you do yourself every week. You get into your car and you trust that car is going to make it to town or your job or wherever you may be going. You trust those tires are going to stay pumped up. You trust the engine's going to stay running. You trust that the road's not going to fall through. You trust the bridges you cross are not going to fall. Or if you're in an airplane, you trust it's going to get there, whatever it is. You put your trust in a lot of things. And a lot of these things can fail. I don't care what kind of car you got. It can tear up. I don't care what kind of house you live in. It can fall. I don't even care that you're out there on the earth or standing on the ground. An earthquake can come and it can break off. You can go wherever. But listen, one thing that cannot happen is God cannot be removed, because He is God and there is none other. And nobody can replace Him. Nobody can kill Him. Nobody can overtake Him. He's a forever settled in heaven. And because of that this morning, you and I can know that we are forever safe. We're forever safe. But I told you to write that big word, safe, there. And then beside that S, I want you to write salvation. Salvation. Now, how do you start to know that you're saved? Is you trust in Jesus for salvation. This is the first thing that we need to understand. The most important thing that we'll ever encounter in life is being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you know you're not, if you don't have that assurity this morning, then my friend, you are not safe at all. I would be running to an old-fashioned altar. I would be kneeling my head right where I was at, or I would be bowing down and crying out to the Lord to save me if I didn't know that this morning. And listen, Romans 10:9 tells us that we truly can know this. Listen how. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's about as simple a verse as you can put down, but all the surety that's in that verse. It doesn't say that you trust in the prayer that you're going to pray. It doesn't say you trust in the water baptism. It doesn't say that you trust in the preacher. You trust in anything else. It says you trust in Him with all your heart. Believe on Him and receive Him this morning, and you can be saved. You can be safe in this Lord Jesus through this salvation. And I challenge you again, and I urge you again, if you haven't did this, if you feel the pull of the Lord on your life this morning, I don't care that you worry about with the people around me. They may think I have done something wrong. They may think that I'm a fake because I have said this all these years. Well, I wouldn't worry about this morning. I'd want to know for certain that I was safe when I left this place. And the only way you can know that you're safe, your soul is saved, is forever to be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I'm afraid again that I know I preach this a lot, but I'm going to continue to preach it until I don't preach anymore, called home, whichever comes first. But listen, there's no other way to be saved but Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I'm afraid this morning that even as Baptists, a lot of us trust in our own ways. I believe we trust in things we've done. I believe we trust in things that we went through, a ritual maybe, or joining a church, or getting baptized, or what prayer we said. I know in my own life that I have fought with this in my own life. As I was saved and as I come to that pew that evening and I talked with Alton Stamey and he showed me in the Word of God of how I could be saved and I received Christ into my life. And since that day, the old devil has brought thoughts to my mind that maybe I didn't say the right things. He's brought thoughts to my mind, well, maybe I didn't ask to the right words, or maybe I wasn't in the right state of mind, or maybe I wasn't this, or maybe I wasn't that. But listen, one thing I know for sure is on that day of June 27th, 1997, I put my trust in Jesus Christ. I didn't put it in the words I said. I didn't put it in what some preacher said. I didn't put it in the water baptism that was coming. I didn't put it in a church membership I joined that night. That day I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and because of that I'm forever safe. And that's the same thing that every child, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl must do today to be saved, is put their trust truly in a Savior that can save them. Listen, that water we baptize you in, it cannot save you. The words that I tell you, they cannot save you. These words in this book can save you. My words can't, but the words in the Word of God is what saves you. And those words tell you that you must trust in a living Savior, which is Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. As we traveled, we saw many different buildings that represented many different beliefs throughout our country. But listen, there's one belief that still stands. And I don't believe we went to a single state that we didn't see a cross standing somewhere on the side of the road, standing at a church, or it was standing on a hill, or even beside the Hollywood sign. And listen, you may not see this, but I asked my kids, they saw it, they was there. Blake saw it beside that Hollywood sign right over to the left. Bless God, you know what there is? There's a white cross, ain't there, Blake? There's a cross. You never see it on TV. But everywhere in this great country of ours, there is a cross. And I'm just dumb enough to believe that's the reason our nation is great, is because it was founded on the beliefs of Jesus Christ. And my friend, this morning, if you're to be safe, you must be safe in Him through salvation. You must be safe. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as it is a gift of God. This is truly a gift, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's nothing. And I want to stress that this morning. If you don't get anything out of this sermon, I hope you get this, that salvation is not based upon you. Salvation is not based upon even what you think you can do or what you think you did. Salvation is based upon a free gift that was done for you on Calvary, way back yonder. Listen, we saw trees this week. That was older than Calvary is. I began thinking, man, those trees are still standing. But guess what? Even those great redwoods and sequoias that we saw out west, one day those things will burn up. They'll fall. But listen, this Calvary that happened some 2,000 years ago, it was still good enough, and it is still good enough. It always will be good enough to save lost sinners. And this is the only way that we can receive this free gift is through the grace of God, which is that sacrifice that Jesus did for each and every one of us when He laid His hands on that old tree and He was nailed to it, and they put it in the ground, and it stood up, and they come by and they stuck a spear in His side, and out come water and out come blood, and all that. He was put into the grave, and 3 days later He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, today I can know I am safe. Thanks be to God, I can know I'm safe. There's a lot of places throughout the week I didn't know I was safe. Yesterday, we got on an airplane. If y'all know me, you know I didn't think I was safe. I do not like heights. As we went over the Hoover Dam, me and Ashton, neither one, she is truly mine, I know for sure, because she don't like heights. We went over the Hoover Dam. They built a bridge over that thing, or an outlook where you can look over this bridge. And we got about halfway, and me and Ashton both looked at one another, and we said, we've had enough. I believe it's there. I've seen it. I'm turning around. The rest of them went on out there. They ain't right no way. But listen, they went out there and looked over that thing. We got to the Grand Canyon. And I'll admit this, the reason you see the picture with all of them and me missing, I'm not getting that close. Hey, you fell off of there, it'd be a while before they found you. You'd go for a ways, and I want to be safe, so I would stay back from that thing. They'd say, come on up and get a picture. I'd say, that thing's about a mile wide, you can get a picture of me right here. There's no need for me to go to the edge of that. I want to know I'm safe. And that's a little comical this morning. But I challenge every person, whether you're young or whether you're old this morning, examine your life and do not leave this building unless you know you're safe in Jesus Christ. That salvation is the most important decision you will ever make. You will ever make. Now we've got to move on. We're safe because of salvation. For the A, all thy ways. Beside that A, put all thy ways. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine. Boy, ain't that good. Trust in Him and lean not on your own understanding. Trust Him with all your heart and He'll direct thy paths. All thy ways acknowledge Him. In everything you do, in all thy ways. Listen, I looked up the meaning of the word ways there, and the translation I use, the King James. You know what the meaning of ways means? Roads. Hey, we went a lot of roads this week, and you'll go a lot of roads in your life. You trust in God in all the roads, in every direction you take, and you trust in Him, you will be safe. You'll be safe in Him and trust in Him. I want to tell you what I have found out. And I know I mentioned our vacation and all that. I can't help it. It's just what God brought me through this week. And listen, we found out that if you'll trust Him in all your ways, that He is faithful. Let me tell you this story. We got up to the Grand Canyon. And we're going up there, and it was already pretty late in the evening, getting up there, and Stephanie, and if y'all know me, I'm not very smart, especially in medicine stuff. So why are you smiling, Pat? Stephanie asked me to fill her vial up with insulin. So we got up there and we're going down the road and I was asking her how to do it. And she told me, she said, just push on it and let go and it's going to fill itself up. So I took her literally. So I let go of the bottom of it. And when it filled up, all the insulin spilled out and it spilled on me. Now, if anybody knows me, you'll know that Stephanie says I'm a hypochondriac. That means I get everything everybody says. So in my mind, I'm thinking I just dumped all this insulin on me. I'm about to die. Because it's going to go through my, and Blake didn't help. Blake Googled it. And it says that it can be absorbed through your skin. So I'm eating about 1,000 Starbursts to try to react to all that stuff. In the middle of this, Stephanie's really in a mess. And here I am panicking, but she's the one that's in a mess. Her blood sugar, she's completely out of insulin. Her blood sugar's up to 400 and something. And we pull up to the Grand Canyon. And we ask the little man there, say, where's the nearest hospital? He says, in Flagstaff, about 2 hours away. So we're sitting there thinking, what do we do? So I begin praying. I'm not tooting my horn here, but I begin praying. I think everybody in the car did. We begin praying that God would answer. And we saw a sign that said medical center. Well, we go up to the medical center there, and Stephanie runs in. It's already 4:58, I think it was, real close to closing time. They close at 5. She runs up in the clinic. The door's open. She goes in, little girl sitting there, and she tells her the story. The girl didn't know what insulin was. So through all this, the nurse guy, the man nurse back there, male nurse, he hears her, he comes up, and Stephanie's telling him the story. He says, wait a minute, where are you from? She said, Alabama. He said, I could tell that, but what part? And she told him, and he had a badge around his neck, and he turned the badge around, and it said JSU. He gave her all the insulin she needed and everything. This prayer was answered within 5 minutes. And I'm telling you that God don't always answer that way, but my friends, I believe God answers when it's needed. And at that point, it was needed, and it's taught me something this week that God is faithful. God is faithful in every situation you can find yourself in. He will be faithful. If you trust in Him, as Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, this God is faithful. I challenge you, the next time you're in a hard spot, will you call out to God? Now, the next time you find yourself in a spot you don't know what to do, let me tell you what to do. Call out to an almighty God. You trust in Him, and I promise you something. He will work. He will act on your behalf. How do I know this? Because it's in His Word. But how do I know it more than that? Because I experienced it. Hey, you talking about happy? We couldn't believe what had been done. Hey, not only did God provide what we needed, He had somebody close to home up there ready to provide it. He had that thing planned. And now you can say what you want to. You can say coincidence or any of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe God knew what that thing was going to happen. I believe God had that planned. And God met that need. And that's just the way I'm going to see it. Nothing's going to change my mind. God is faithful. You trust Him in all the ways, all thy ways. You acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. It don't say in anything that you deviate from His way. How is it that we think we know when it's time to get away from God? You see, we do this in our own life. I did it throughout the rest of the week. I saw what God had done, and then another challenge would come, and I'd try to figure out how I might fix that problem. And we do it in our own lives. Every single day we'll pray. God will answer a problem. We'll see that thing, know for certainty that God answered it. The next thing arises, and we'll say, this thing is not big enough for me to take to God. I'll figure this one out on my own. And what happens then is we get in a terrible mess, and we cannot ever fix the problem. Trust Him in all thy ways, and He'll direct thy paths. That A in safe has got to be for all thy ways. Have you ever trusted Him? Has there been a time that you trusted Him in something? I'm not talking about salvation here. Well, sure, you had to trust Him for salvation. But outside of that, are you trusting God? I get all upset as a pastor such as days, and it seems the church is empty and I panic and all this. Where's everybody gone? Did this happen? Then we may look at finances. Did this happen? Then we may look at this. Did this happen? We tend to think this thing is done on our own power. And listen, today if we could truly learn to acknowledge Him in all our ways and trust Him in everything we do, and if He directs our paths, then why in the world would I ever think that He would lead me in a wrong way? We followed a GPS system that some man made all across this country. And guess what? It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But did you know what that thing had? At some points it had dead spots. It couldn't pick up. You didn't have a network. You didn't have this. You didn't have that. You would lose it. There was something that would happen and it would go out and you didn't know what to do at that point. Listen, following God is never that way. His way is always perfect. His directions is always perfect. But what it takes is time waiting on Him. Sometimes these prayers not answered as the prayer about the insulin was answered. That was a mighty need at that point that God knew had to be answered, or things was about to get ugly in Stephanie's life. He answered. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Let's move on to the F. The fiery trials. Boy, do we not know about them in our church. The fiery trials. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as some strange thing happening to you." Have we not been guilty? I've been guilty. I said it today. I told somebody, I may have said it in Sunday school or somewhere. I said, I've never seen a time in a church where we're bombarded with health problems and trouble such as we are at New Harmony right now. I have said that even today. But listen, the Word of God says, don't think it strange concerning it. Hey, don't think this thing is something wrong. Don't think it is something you've done or you're the only one going through it. He says, hey, everybody goes through those things, and there's a reason for these fiery trials. I want to encourage you, New Harmony, that there is a reason that we are going through of what is happening right now. And 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 7 tells us this. "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." The trial of your faith. Hey, it says it's more precious than gold. Gold can burn up. You think right now, boy, if I had about $1 million worth of gold, I would be safe if I had that gold. And actually you wouldn't, because gold can be done away with. It can be spent. It can be dissolved. It can be all used up. You can spend it all. But listen, one thing you cannot ever use all is your faith you have in an almighty God. It says it's more precious. It does not perish. Yes, one day it'll be replaced with sight when you see the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer will you need faith because you'll see Him face to face. But oh, how precious this faith is. It's so precious to God that He tries it, that He builds it, He exercises it. He makes it to a point where you know you can stand on it, and that you can use it, and that it's trustworthy, and it's something that you never, ever have to be without. This faith. Listen, there's families under the sound of my voice right now whose situation looked dire. There's sicknesses that if God don't intervene, then loved ones are going to pass. There's sicknesses that God needs to touch today, or things are getting bad as my eyes see it and your eyes see it. But listen, God knows exactly what He's doing. May I reassure you today that He has never, ever lost control. Not once has anything surprised God. Not once has anything caught him by what he wasn't ready for it. He is always in control. He always will be in control. And his way is perfect. Now let me tell you something else before we move on from this one. Do not waste this trial. Do not waste it. It says it's more precious. That faith you have is more precious than gold. And that trial you have is important. Hey, listen, if God thinks enough of my faith to strengthen it, then maybe I shouldn't waste that trial. You see, what happens in a lot of our lives, we'll go through trials, and we'll come closer to God. We'll get what a lot of public people call jailhouse religion. Happens in jailhouses all the time. Happens in hospitals. People's in a dire need. They call out to the Lord. The Lord answers. And then in that time when they get up better, or they get out of jail, or they get out of that circumstance, whatever reason happens, they forget him. And they move on and they waste that trial. Do not waste this trial, New Harmony. I pray we can look back in a year or 2 years and say, you remember 2019, we had all the church had family members that had went through surgeries, that went through a cancer, had went through different things. Listen, I don't know what the future holds in that cancer for our families. I just do not know that. I don't know what the outcome is. But listen, I'm going to tell you what I do know, that God's ways are perfect. I'm going to tell you what I do know, that I can trust in God. I'm going to tell you what I do know is that God's not going to let go of me. He's not going to let go of you. He's not going to let go of our church. He's in control. He's given us this trial to strengthen our faith, and it's more precious than gold. So bless God, let's don't waste it. Let's grow from it. There is a reason, and we'll know it in the by and by. Do not waste that trial. The E is for eternity. Eternity. That's a long time. Eternity's forever. It always has been. It always will be. You get thinking about that, your mind cannot comprehend eternity. God didn't build your mind to comprehend it. We can't understand it. We can't make sense of it, but we have to believe it. It's always has been. Eternity always will be. And I mentioned about wanting to know I was safe. Won't know I was saved. We was flying yesterday, and listen, it takes about all this old boy can take to climb up on an airplane. It just does. I may be a sissy, you can call me what you want to. It takes a lot of courage on my part. But after I get on there, it's not so bad. And I was thinking yesterday as I looked at the thing on the airplane that had a thing in front of me. We was 37,000 feet. And we was going 617 miles an hour. And all this, and I was thinking, there's no use to worry. If something happens here, it's all over with anyway. There's nothing to worry about. And I got to thinking, you know why I felt safe? I was inside of something. It was a capsule of an airplane, fuselage, I think they call them. But there was somebody in control of that thing that knew more than I did. Now listen, he could die. The pilot could die. He's a man. He could decide he wanted to crash us all. He could do that if he chose. But one thing was for certain, he was in control. He decided that day whether I landed or he decided whether we crashed. It was up to him. Now listen, this man, if he was in his right mind, he desired to go home to his family just as we did. So obviously we landed safe and everything was great. But I am in something that's much more safe than a Delta airplane. I'm in the almighty hands of God for eternity. He's not going to lose control. He's not going to decide he wants to crash. I am headed to that destination. And it's going to be for eternity. John chapter 10, verse 27, 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. Did you get that part? I give them. Not a single thing I have to work for. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. because of what he has given me, this eternal life that's given by the almighty hand of God through his precious son, Jesus Christ, because he has given it, guess what it is? It's eternal and it doesn't go away. It never ends. It says that never shall perish. That means that yes, my body will die one day, but my soul will never have to suffer the eternal death from him, eternal separation from God, because of my decision to follow Jesus Christ and to receive him. Never do I have to worry about being separated from God, never to perish, it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. You are safe, and there is nothing that can get you out of the hand of God. Nothing. There's scripture that proves it. I didn't put it down. It says, neither death, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything can separate you from the love of God. My friends, today you can be certain that you are safe. You are safe. There's not a better feeling. I think it's at Zaxby's in Oxford, or some Zaxby's, that says, man's second greatest accomplishment is flying, or something like that. His greatest accomplishment is landing. I thought about that yesterday. Some people say they love to fly. I tell you what I love to do. I love to land. Amen. There's not a better feeling in this world than them tires go, whoop, and you feel that thing. It's even better when it's complete stop, but until then, I'll deal with the landing. There's not a safer place you feel at that moment. I don't care how much you think you like flying. There's a time you're ready to land. You want to be safe. Church, I want you to know for certain this morning, you can know that you are safe. Do not worry. Listen, I've spent too much of my life. It's a struggle I've had of doubting, of wanting to know for certain. And God put, first, if you want to know that you're saved, you turn up 1 John and read it, and you can know that you have eternal life. This morning you can be assured, knowing before you walk out these doors, that you are safe. If there's one doubt of your salvation this morning, make that sure before you leave. Make it sure. You need to know you're safe. If you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, then I want to encourage you that you are safe for eternity. You are secure. Nothing can get you out of his hand. And in life in general, if you'll trust him in all your ways, he'll direct your paths. Those fiery trials you go through, they're to make you stronger. And then, of course, you've got eternity. I hope this morning, this short sermon has meant something to you. It's been an exciting week, although knowing the troubles were back at home, took a little away from it, but we have to deal with what we have to deal with. As we was on that trip, and of course we was expecting calls from my mother, but as Stephanie got the call, her mother had a heart attack. Of course she fell to pieces, what's expected. But we begin trusting, knowing that God was going to answer. Don't know how. May not be the way we want. But we know that his way is absolutely perfect. And then, of course, got another call yesterday. She'd had another heart attack. It seemed like it just kept coming. So I know we're certain that God is trying to encourage me, trying to help me of knowing that I am safe. And church, I hope you know that too. Today that you are completely safe because of the one that loves you. If everyone would, please stand. Miss Pat would come play. I don't know everything that's going on. I know a lot that's going on in our lives. A lot of other people may know. Some of it, some people may not know. I'm sure there's things I don't know that's going on in your life. I don't understand it, and I couldn't tell you how to understand it. But I know that God has a reason for everything that happens in your life. And this morning, if you have trusted him as your Savior, I want to assure you that you are safe. Quit worrying about what you said that day, what you didn't say that day. If you know for certain that you trusted him as your Savior, that you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, according to that Word of God, you are secure. And you're safe. But if you don't know that, if you know that you've never done that, I want to invite you down here to this altar. I cannot save you. I can show you in the Word where the Bible says you are a sinner. And because of a sinner, there are wages that comes with that sin. And the wages is death, but there's been a gift given, which is Jesus Christ, that wipes all that sin away. Be just as you've never sinned. Would you receive Him today? Would you receive Jesus and know for certain when you leave this place that you're forever safe? You can have that peace today as she plays.